Hello, and welcome once again to the CGW Radio Podcast. This is Jeff Green, the editor-in-chief of CGW, and today we're going to talk about all sorts of stuff related to gaming and PCs and PC gaming. such topics as, we'll talk about the Fear freeware stuff that went up online. That was kind of cool. We'll talk about... are we going to talk about Microsoft's XNA thing, Darren?
Wasn't it in our contract now?
Oh, right? That's right. Every week we have to have a Microsoft. Boy, that joke's going to get old.
Yeah,
fast.
Actually, that is kind of cool. We should get to that.
Right. We'll talk about Hordes of Warcraft.
Woo!
Because that's two things everyone loves to talk about in all in one, Hordes and Warcraft, and all sorts of other good stuff. And with me today are the CGW editors, which include the very hirsute
Ryan Scott.
That's like the evil Ryan Scott, actually. Darren Gladstone.
The sick, as in illin, with the flu, Sean Elliott.
And Sean Malloy.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You're welcome.
I haven't seen you all week.
And I missed you.
I missed you, too.
Group hug.
Ryan Scott, if you don't have a visual on your radio, is sporting a pretty awesome-looking goatee. I leave for 4 days, and the man is... Is kind of mean looking now.
Especially with the Sonic the Hedgehog t-shirt.
This is like the third time you guys have brought up my t-shirts in the podcast.
We just like looking at you, I guess. the other item to note at the table here is Sean Elliott is drinking a Coca-Cola Black. Though, as Sean Malloy pointed out, it's actually Blake.
Yeah, it's got an umlaut on it? No. It's got something. It's got an accent mark over the A.
Uh-huh.
B-L-A-K.
Makes it a long A.
So it's good?
Yeah, I drink all those crap sugar water drinks. So It's got a little coffee flavor going on. It's not going to replace balls. Guarana is the number one land gamer's beverage of choice.
Can we just skip the balls jokes?
Let's skip the balls jokes. Yeah.
So I was just waiting for it.
No, ball. It's like every time you see someone's like, hey, post a picture of your rig. You always see the empty bottle of balls like up on the counter. But it's not just like they were just drinking it. It's like they got it one time and they're like, this is a cool bottle. I'm going to save this. Might come in handy. I could burn some incense in it.
It's like ribs for her pleasure, too. I mean, like, it's got it.
Well, then it's got that, too. But don't do that. No, it's just.
All right.
It's got nubs on it.
It does have nubs.
It does.
The bottle has nubs. It does. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
And okay, before we finish it up, since we started our glorious podcast talking about beverages, I'm trying to bring it back by bringing it at least into the realm of gaming beverages.
Okay.
But the logo for balls is also like, you know, a head tennis. You know how the head is like a tennis company?
Yeah.
Okay.
If you've ever seen their logo, it kind of looks like the name of the company.
Okay.
But anyway, the balls.
Actually, this Coca-Cola Black has a logo that I can't quite make out. You see that thing?
Yeah. I don't get it. It's a spell. Yeah. It's a Guild Wars spell icon.
Oh, that's what it is. That's why I recognized it. So it's cool.
Yeah.
Okay, let's enough of that. So I didn't play any games because I was off in L.A. being a hoe. But what did you guys play? Anybody?
Well, there's a lot of cool demos
Demo week, yeah.
Demo week. Yeah.
Right.
Ryan?
I played nothing this week.
Nothing.
Nothing.
No games.
He played the role
You're
of
fine.
Editor.
Yeah. Okay. Here at Computer Gaming World, we play games as part of our job, Ryan. You might want to get on that.
I'm gonna leave Dark Messiah for you because you play more of it. Actually, you know what? I just tried out this bit of freeware called Frets of Fire. Have you heard of this thing yet?
No.
Basically, it's Guitar Hero on your PC.
Oh, cool.
So it's kind of crazy. But
why does that make you say cool? so quickly, though.
Well, because I'm jealous because I don't have Guitar Hero.
Okay,
well,
but here's the problem.
Rock
out with a fake guitar.
Yeah,
you get to do it with your keyboard.
Oh,
mouse. So wait, let me back this up now. Okay,
okay.
You could call it saxophone hero, whatever. You could call it piccolo hero, cello hero.
I'm thinking
it doesn't matter.
Hero,
you're still
dude.
Typing like the keys on your keyboard.
Yeah, actually, it's more like guitar hero. But
so yeah,
I'm embarrassed now.
It could be DDR.
What did I say?
Call
cool.
Call it.
You said
I take that back.
It's like you ever.
But
I know you didn't. But you ever play DDR on a controller or on a keyboard?
No.
It's
no.
like, yeah, you could press up, down, left, right.
Okay,
well,
so
it doesn't
have the cool factor of the guitar, but it is open source, and people are actually already creating their own MP3s and songs to import into the game. I'm going to give a shout-out to a PC Format UK magazine, the editor Ed James Carey, he actually modded a toy guitar with a USB port so we can actually play the game with
okay,
it.
Okay, now we're talking.
Uh-huh.
That's cool. That's cool. We're clacking on your keyboard, pretending you're playing guitar is weak. Playing on a... Sorry, I'm losing my voice. I'm sick. Playing on a...
Hey, Tom Harry's going through puberty.
On a My First Guitar keyboard from Toys R Us is dignified.
Right. But, I mean, that's what the guitar hero guitar is like.
It's like that Fisher-Price jam.
Right. You're not playing the guitar. You're, like, playing red, green, blue.
But,
Or Iron Man. Really hard.
Iron Man then becomes blue, red, green, orange, blue, yellow, blue, green, orange, green, orange, blue.
Sometimes you have to hold down yellow and green.
Green, orange, blue. Anyway.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard, like, Take Me Out on the radio, and I like, my fingers start going.
Yeah, you
like,
start doing that.
Bam. I'm, like, looking for that.
So what about hooking up the official Guitar Hero thing? Is there an adapter where you can get it from PS2 to USB?
You know what? There are third-party companies making Guitar
China's
Hero controllers.
China's got to have something for us, man.
There's some sweatshop in China making those guitars right now.
That's why we love China.
But then if you already have, you know, the guitars for your PS2 or whatever,
I mean, it's not going to work because you need a USB port.
Here's why you could bother. Because PS2... You got those songs, they get played out, then you got to wait an entire year for a sequel.
That's what I'm talking about.
Dan's talking about putting on all the German krautrock you can handle.
Rammstein, like, baby.
There's the mother.
Unloading that.
Is there any Motorhead in Guitar Hero?
Hust.
Yeah.
What, Ace of Spades?
Ace of Spades.
Oh.
That's a given.
There you go. Okay.
All right. So
you haven't played Guitar Hero at all?
I've never played it.
Wow, so in that case, you better get Guitar Hero 1 and 2 is coming out in November.
Now that I know Ace of Spades is on there.
Sweet. All right.
Also, what else are we playing?
Dark Messiah.
Played Dark Messiah. Dude. We're playing Company of Heroes.
How is Dark Messiah?
It is awesome. If you haven't played it yet.
Yeah? No, I haven't.
You played it.
Well, I played it at
demo.
E3.
That's what the demo is.
Yeah. But I mean, like, it's... Before the E3 demo, I was kind of interested in it, looking forward to it. Definitely thought it was going to be cool. But after playing, I'm like, holy crap. This is going to be huge.
Wow. Good.
Yeah, the combat, especially coming off of Oblivion, different games.
Mm-hmm.
Same point of view. Same setting, but people will insist they're different because one emphasizes the stats more than the other. But the combat is much more focused, much more responsive in Dark Messiah, combo-based.
Yeah, I love the combos. And like when you pull back, when you're like preparing to strike, different poses depending on how you pull back on it.
And then you got the kick there that you can do at the same time as you're swinging your sword or your dagger or whatever. So, and you've got spikes to put, you know, all these environmental traps that you can knock people into. You can, you know, set your bow on fire if there's a fire there. Pick up a crate. For some reason, when you pick up the flask, the water jug or whatever, and you throw it on someone, it's like hitting them with a cannonball or whatever. It'll just flat out kill them. Whereas a burning barrel just kind of breaks over their face. But, like, just the little water jug will completely destroy them.
Little tweak here and there.
And just enough to play and say, hey, this is responsive, this is cool. And
well, there's the hack.
Yeah, you can basically unlock. I'm not sure if it's all the spells in the game, but you can unlock quite a few spells and mess with those. Those are, to me, hypothetically going to be the highlights of the game. And I've been hearing, you know, mixed reactions to them, that they're not as good as the hand-to-hand combat. But they should ideally be quick and they should work well because it's going to be all about the combinations. You know, I remember when we were at E3 together and looking at the same stretch of level, we asked the guy to, shrink this orc, shrink this goblin, then telekinetically lift him up, set him into the fire, and then throw him off. You know, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what are all these?
We're passing notes.
Yeah, you're passing notes.
It's not that said. Yeah, Sean's being really boring. Move on. No, it doesn't.
Wrap it up. No.
Oh God, no. So you're writing down stuff about Jack Thompson?
No, no.
Yeah,
no.
I was like, do we talk about that
in the world?
We missed it last week. We missed our window.
There's this guy and he doesn't like video games. Check it out.
Check it out.
Got some news for you.
Right.
He's a cranky old man on the lawn.
Last week we would have discussed the Jack Thompson versus G4 debate, but Adam Sessler debate, but we're not going to do that now.
We're talking about what we're playing now.
Yeah, damn it.
So save your notes for later, man.
Pay attention in
class,
Let's
talk
Ryan.
About, has anyone else been playing the Company Heroes demo? Beta?
Well, I know you downloaded the beta. And
I've been playing.
I just got the reviewable today, so I'm looking forward to checking that out.
What do you mean? Reviewable?
What do you mean the reviewable?
Demo?
Reviewable gold code.
Okay.
That's interesting that they'd send that today. Well, maybe so, because today in the public beta, they just released a massive, massive patch.
that's adding some AI and stuff, among other things.
Yeah, you probably want to add the AI before you.
Yeah, well, you got some review.
Now with AI. Right.
Now with 100% more intelligence.
They all just stood there. I'm really digging what I've played so far. You know, I'm not usually the RTS guy. And for some reason, you know, usually people are like, oh, great, it's World War II. And I did a little research, and everywhere I looked, every preview I found, it started the same way. It's like, here's yet another World War II game, except this is the one that we like, you know, whatever. And I even checked on one site. I checked, like, they had four previews listed for it, and every single one started that same exact way.
Yeah, but let me ask you, did we do that at CGW?
We didn't do that at all. No, we made a point of, like,
we rock,
of not doing that.
Well, that was when we did that whole, like, World War II feature.
Right. That's, like, a rule for CGW previews when people turn them into me. It's like, if it's a World War II game, if you started off talking about how World War II is played out, like, that's more played out than a World War II game.
it's actually flipped the axis on that one.
Also, if you start out with Hitler was right, we have to change that.
Right. Or not killing Nazis never. I mean, this is different. This is not that. That is whatever. Do what you want with that. But that's messed up. But I mean, something else I was going to say, people write, like, killing Nazis never gets old. Whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the case, but it's like, that line is old as hell. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
I think that was old, like, in, like, 98 or so.
That's what I meant by do what you want with that. I was like, I didn't want you to think that, like, killing Nazis is somehow, like, supposed to be as bad as saying that, like, whatever about Hitler is right or something, you know, the converse. I could care less, but it's like, in terms of it being an interesting thing to read, like, no, come on, come up with something better. It's like anyone writing about the Time Splitters console games, and they're like, monkeys are always fun, monkeys never get old.
That's every Super Monkey Ball preview used to
Wizard magazine, like 4 years ago, played it out. But so anyway, the thing, bringing it back around, the World War II angle for our Company of Heroes works for me in that I can say, all right, look, the Americans, you know, it's asymmetrically balanced Axis versus Allies, and I can say the Americans are making tanks faster and more economically than the Germans, but the German armor is better. And I can get that. Like, that makes sense to me. Whereas, like, the green, you know, Tarragon dragon immediately has a +5 stamina advantage over the orange, like, fluff.
That's because they have access to the temporal core.
Right. Yeah, duh.
So, that stuff I get, and the power-ups are, like, it just totally makes sense to me, because it's like, if I decide to upgrade along an airborne route, and then I start getting access to, like, the 101st, and I can drop in guys in parachute to shore up my front lines, or give me a little extra crew wherever I need it. That stuff's pretty cool for me. You know,
I don't need logic.
Well, I don't need logic either.
There's a lot of non-logic, too. It's like you upgrade. It gets ridiculous. You start upgrading your engineers, which are kind of like the equivalent of peons, you know, the, like, ready, master, like, that kind of crap.
Build the bridge.
And so they get flamethrowers. The next thing you see is these massive battles where there's, like, 50 guys with flamethrowers. And it was like, come on. Last I heard, it was like the M1 was standard American issue, not the flamethrower.
That's what happens when you get your master's in engineering and you get a flamethrower.
So you've just downloaded this? You haven't played it yet?
I'm going to download it this weekend.
Oh, you are? Okay.
But actually, I'm kind of curious.
But I haven't played it.
As a, you know, because you're not, you know, traditionally, like, you don't play many RTSs. I mean, like, how does that feel for you?
The last one I played was Warcraft 3, and that horrible Star Wars one, I always have to ask people to remind me which one it was.
Battlegrounds?
It was the one with seven Commander? Kinds of dirt.
Galactic Battlegrounds.
Galactic Battlegrounds. Yeah.
Was that the Age of Empires one?
Yeah, yeah. That was the droids chopping down trees and stuff.
I hated that.
I love that.
And farming seven types of crystals.
Seven's better than six. That's
there were so many types of, like, crystals to farm in that game. That's one reason why I was like, all right, I'm not going to play that game.
No, but as far as like, on like, the way they manage it, is, do you find it, like, you know, easy?
You know,
to get
it's
into,
got or? There are three varieties of resources, and you don't mine any in the sense that you have to have engineers going to and from places. But you basically have a map and you have capture points,
right?
And those then allocate fuel, ammunition. And
that's
the other
sort of
like
how Dawn of
War
did.
It's
relics. So, what happens is you get these places and you build an observation post on it, and you'll accelerate the rate at which you are able to accumulate, you know, fuel and this and that. Mm-hmm. So, in the long run, you're not supposed to have to worry about that so much, other than that, just get there first, and then that's where you're going to fight. That's where you're gonna.
Sorry,
Darren, man. So. So that's cool. I mean, like, I ideally want that stuff in the background, because where I'm coming from, it's like, I want to have these cool tank battles. I want to work on, you know,
different tank tactics and combined forces tactics using the infantry, Panzerfaust all together. But the more, every time I got to click back to main base and keep saying, build this, build that, build the other thing, make sure, you know, it's kind of like taking away from my ability to focus on how precise the battle itself is.
Okay, so basically you don't want to play an RTS.
Right, so for me it's like, no, I want strategy, you know. Okay, I want strategy and tactics is what I'm saying.
Right.
But I guess I totally dig it. It's still got the other stuff. And, I mean, a lot of people that have been on our boards and whatnot that are like RTS snobs are really digging it. They're appreciating the different approach to it. And it's definitely an RTS. I mean, you play it and... I mean, it's not as far away from the RTS, you know, structure as like a World in Conflict or something like that. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing about it is, like, you know, when shooters got their physics and everything, and that's all played out to us now. We're like, okay, great, barrel blows up and a guy flies. Mm-hmm. But now, when you're starting to see all the same things, the HDR, the normal mapping, the physics in an RTS, it's really neat on that scale to see, you know, a tank come through, or you call in a quick bombing run and it just blows all the buildings apart.
Right.
The trees fly, individual guys go flying, their vehicles are on fire.
Yeah, I'm liking that in Titan Quest, which isn't an RTS, but it's a...
Right. You know. So, yeah, imagine that in Titan Quest, but, like, on a much bigger scale,
right,
too. You know, where... So a lot of times it's just you're in, you know, Venturilo or TeamSpeak with someone. You're like, whoa, did you see that? Or click over here and watch this. I'm calling in a strafing run on these guys, and you see your P-39 come by or whatever and wipe out a bunch of infantry. That stuff's cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, as you're saying, yeah, they're still patching. I'm glad they have an open beta for it because it is asymmetrically balanced. The Axis and Allies play very differently than one another. And, I mean, I don't...
It's just the two sides, right?
Right, it's the two sides. And then individually...
Oh, what would the third side be?
Well, you could have other Zerglings. Allies. I mean, you can have other Axis and other allies.
Oh, you could, yeah.
Outside of Germany and America. Those are, hence the expansions, probably, right?
Probably.
The Italians.
So, where was I going with this? There's something. Oh, so in addition, for additional variety, as you're playing, you get upgrade points. And you can say, hey, you know, I'm going to work on my airborne division. I'm going to work on my armor division. And then that gives you access to different special powers, kind of, special abilities.
Do you get, like, any, like, super units?
Yeah. So like it's the equivalent of that. Like, I mean, you can start equipping your Shermans with Calliope rockets, which are basically a bunch of tube-fired rockets go on the top. And that's massively devastating. It was like... So going back to my point, I was going to say I don't envy any critics that have to review RTSs. And I say it's because I've always reviewed pretty much everything but this.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, it's like when you look, I mean, balance is always the big issue in this stuff. Is this fair? Are you going to end up like trying to have a patch where they just give up and say, okay, you can just play Germans versus Germans or Americans versus Americans because it's not, the gears aren't meshing.
It's a lot of work. If you're going to review it fairly and correctly.
Right. And so it's good that they have, I mean, I'd say it's imperative to have a public beta, multiplayer beta for any game like this. Same as a game like Battlefield, and they just released now on File Planet your Battlefield 2142 beta. But it's just like I look at that and I play it, and it seems like how long, at what point do you even feel like I can say, all right, you know what? This works out well. These are like the good advantages for this and that, and especially when they just keep patching it and stuff.
But, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, cool game.
Cool. So we'll probably all be playing it this weekend, except Ryan, who I guess doesn't play games anymore.
I'm going camping. I mean, no games for me.
Camping.
Camping, like outside and stuff?
And whitewater rafting, too. Yeah.
Wow.
So I'll come back and talk about how we could turn it into a video game with Namco.
Call it Tubin.
Tubin.
No, I'm thinking of the actual whitewater one where you've got the paddle.
Yeah, isn't that the one?
Well, would that be a
Tubin's
special
one with buttons and you're in an inner tube?
Oh, okay, okay.
Would we have to buy a peripheral, a paddle?
Yeah, it's a coin op only. It's like Dave and Buster style.
I was going to say, I know what you're talking about. I've seen that at Dave and Buster's.
Mr. Malloy, what have you been playing?
I've been sucked further into Warcraft than ever.
Wow.
Yeah, well, when Blizzard came by with Burning Crusade, I was like, I got to get my level 60 guy back.
So yeah.
I'm back in like a raiding guild, and I've got my first Molten Core run this weekend in like 6 months.
Whoa.
So that's going to consume.
Going to get some DKP.
Oh, nice. Way to go.
Remember the dots.
All dots. More dots.
Wow, so you got sucked back in. That happens every time they come around and show that expansion. I mean, it happens with me. You just go, oh, I got to be ready for the expansion.
Did they leave a little crack vial for you
as
well?
No, I pulled my priest out of retirement. So.
Ryan saw the Horrors of Warcraft and thought about playing, though.
Oh, yeah. Should we talk about Horrors of Warcraft?
He's playing a different kind of game there.
What was that?
Did you get the link I sent to Darren? I found I found like a full real deal, like the page.
Yeah, it was reported earlier this week. They apparently it's a, I don't know if it's cosplay or just like a porn, a porn thing. I'm still trying to figure out what's going on exactly.
It's erotica.
It's Warcraft erotica.
Oh, that's right up my alley.
Yeah.
There you go.
So it's like fully nude, like women dressed as.
Oh, God.
Or elves. Undressed as.
As like night elves.
As, yeah.
Well, with like their, you know, their night elf bra open or something.
But it's like full on. It's some. like it's... Poonanny and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, then how is it Warcraft related?
Because they got like the makeup
on.
They've
got
the ears and
night elf makeup.
And this is like, this isn't drawings.
No.
It's actual human.
It's actually a real human being.
Females. Yeah. Oh, that's sad.
It's sad.
Sad and kind of.
But hey, man, there's people that.
Do I have to pay? I mean, would one have to pay? I don't know. If one was.
I'm sure you would. Write them a letter. This is today. Yeah. After
this podcast,
chief
of,
they get the email.
I'm very interested in covering your product for our magazine.
Yeah.
Please send serial code forthwith.
Goodness. To this Yahoo address.
It's better than furries.
Better than furries.
Wow, but really, what is better than furries?
Why didn't they call it, what did I say?
World of Horrorcraft.
World of Horrorcraft.
Wow, way to drop the ball on that one,
maybe
seriously.
Maybe that's already trademarked or something.
Maybe it is. Yeah. Mm. So somebody actually got the idea. They thought it would be a good idea. Let's set up a porn site for, like, WoW players to pretend that they're looking at, like,
well, they're looking
actual
at
dwarf women.
So let me ask. Yeah.
That's dude, you act like this is the first day you've been on the internet.
Is there naked people on the internet?
When it comes to sex, okay. it doesn't even matter. There's like, you just make up some random thing. Like if someone's going to fetishize like beach sand or something, you'll find like a site that's just a bunch of pictures of like sand.
But what
models.
I want to know is, do they have every race represented?
I sure hope so. I want to see a Tauren.
Right, that's a female Tauren.
Well, they need to get money to afford the prosthetics
for
like the Tauren.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just the beginning.
Business first. Yeah.
Right, troll, female troll.
Mm-hmm. Mm, yeah. 3 a.m. any bar.
Yeah, let's have a moment.
So anyway, yeah, you can.
No, but I mean, you think about it. Like, well, not that I investigate these things much, but I mean, like, for years they've taken like regular, like normal mainstream movies and kind of do their porn version of them. Mm-hmm. Now it's video game turn.
So in all honesty, this wasn't really a good podcast topic.
No.
Horrible. We just wanted to bring it up.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
It's funny.
So how about a real item, Darren? A real item of news.
You want actual real news?
Some actual substance.
Oh, good luck on this. No, actually, first of all, top of the list, Fear Combat. If you already have Fear, no big deal. But if you haven't plunked down the money yet, you can download the multiplayer game totally for free. 12 weapons, 19 multiplayer maps, and 10 different gameplay modes. Just download and play.
That's actually pretty cool. Are there
bots for it.
In these levels?
Because
then you could play single player for free.
Technically, you could. I don't know. But the cool part is...
Dude,
actually,
why would you want to play bots? Darren is always like the biggest champion of bots.
I'm not a champion of bots.
Multiplayer, but like it's the dumbest thing ever, dude.
When was I a champion of bots?
Just historically. It's like, defend yourself, man. Come on. You're always like, Unreal. They've always nailed it.
I like bots.
They know, well, you know that 90% of the people that buy their game play alone with bots.
Well,
I'm
in that
always
case,
like, well, those are the dumbasses.
I disagree.
Go on.
Excuse me.
Not everyone wants to play against Ralphie Myers all
know,
the time.
That's
so
fine.
I just want to like hang
there
out
you go.
And like
defend.
Okay, fine. Here it is. Not everyone wants to sit down and play against a bunch of douchebags online. They want to just get a quick fix. I want to sit down, blow some shit up, and then done.
Right.
There you go. Okay. There's appeal for people who don't like feel they can hold their own against the people who are playing these things too.
Right.
Yeah, that's something else.
Yeah.
Too.
What reason would I have? Like if I jumped onto any game like Fear or whatever, I'd have no chance against real people.
Right.
You know,
right.
When everybody on the server is Sean Elliott, you know, I'm just.
Well, the trick is fine. The trick is also like, you know,
get on with your friends. You know,
the trick is matching up with people who are like, right. You know, on similar skill level. They have to like really like.
Yeah, go to one of those servers that say newbie only.
That I agree with. That's a huge thing. But for me, it's like, I mean, mismatched, you know, player base is always a problem because you go in and it's not level. But at the same time, bots have just never been a solution.
No, I only use
bots
to, like, learn levels.
Yeah.
It's never satisfying. When you do kill them, it's not satisfying for me.
Right.
And they're so, like,
but it's kind of like killing Cylons.
Annoying.
Wasn't that satisfying?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Let's collect.
If you like 99 Knights or whatever it is for 360, then you'll love bots. You know,
that's a Zen exercise in pushing the A button.
Spawn
that's,
camp that's them all day.
And occasionally the Y.
So that was actually a pretty cool. Was it Vivendi who did it or Monolith?
It's Vivendi's call, I think.
That was a nice move, I thought.
It's been a while, and I'll go back and play it again. Like, the last time, they have to have patched it since then, but before they had this really bad spawn system where there would be, you know, like fixed spawn locations in the map. And as soon as you could figure them out, you'd just sit there with your gun and your grenades and wait and just pile up the bodies. Like, you'd wait, and like, as soon as someone would spawn, get them. And then the ragdolls would be like to the ceiling in like 2 seconds.
You know, I wonder if someone thought of doing like a hidden mod for that. That'd be a really good game to do it in.
Yeah, I wonder how difficult it is to mod Fear.
I know the tools are out there. And also, I don't know if I mentioned this before, but the cool part is people who download the free game can play against people who own the box game. So it's like totally open.
Okay. So you're not segregated
because
you're a cheapskate.
That's almost a good thing for the people that did buy it, too, and who might
be suffering. More people to play.
Yeah, fewer people online.
And also, this is probably also a move on their part, on Vivendi's part, I should say, to kind of build up hype for the expansion coming out in, I think, October?
Yeah,
right.
That's what they said.
You get a minigun, I heard, in this one.
A minigun?
Yep.
I'm being facetious. Just I don't know.
I haven't seen a minigun in every game.
It just was like,
here's a minigun.
Here's our level. We went back in with the level editor and the assets and whipped up a few more levels, and we threw a minigun in. You got a minigun this time.
You're so cynical.
No, I'm not, because if it's good, it'll have my total support. And same thing with the Fear expansion. I'll be on this podcast telling you all to get it, and it's amazing if it is. But if it is just a video, if it is just a chain gun and reskin levels, then what good's it going to do to pretend like it's rad?
You know? You heard it here. John Elliott's going to call this game out.
That's right.
Any other news items this week of interest, Darren?
Well, I'm just going to skim through some stuff here really quick. Okay, Microsoft's XNA, XNA Game Studio Express, really nerdy stuff, but this is actually pretty cool if you like freeware games, indie developer games, that sort of thing. So Microsoft, starting August 30th, is releasing this. Basically, it's a free game development tool. So if you want to like make a pretty solid game engine, they're going to have some samples for you and just kind of build off of it. And an interesting tie-in is that if you join something called the Creators Club, I think for $100, it's an annual subscription, you'll be able to upload your games into Xbox Live and play these games on your 360.
Wow.
Or share them with other people.
Now that's pretty cool.
That are also members of
that
the
are other
Club.
Subscribers.
Exactly. Right, so it's $100 a year. But
you can't start selling it on Xbox Live.
You know, theoretically, if it's a good enough game, I'm sure you could approach Microsoft.
Sure.
It's obviously a way to get a grassroots effort around, getting these games out there. And I think it's probably a pretty smart move on Microsoft's part.
Well, when you think about it, too, I mean, it's a pretty neat. I mean, that's the giving the tools to anybody to make a game and have it be available on that kind of scale.
Like, a widely accessible equivalent of, I mean, like homebrew for a console environment.
Right.
Which has just been out of the question. At least on any, you know, widely accessible scale, unless you're...
Right. And the fact is you can make a game that's fully portable to the console. It's just, it's like, duh. Why
so once again, Microsoft has done something great. God, we love them.
Wow.
So you're just Mr. Cynical, huh?
Oh, he's still hurt because I said that.
Because I didn't get excited at the bullet-pointed minigun. I played that crap, man.
I think we need the Ralphie Meyer.
It's been in every game.
My.
I think we need the Ralphie Meyer. Oh, wow. That's here right
now. For the minigun.
You know, actually, it makes me think, it's going to be tough when Microsoft does something good now for us, you know?
Yeah, God.
It's gonna every time they do something good, it's gonna be hard for us to say it's good without it sounding like we're on the take. Right. What do we do about that?
We hate everything.
Everything's bad.
Everything's bad.
We still talk about it.
We'll have to overcompensate.
I don't know. Maybe trust our readers to trust us.
Trust our.
Oh,
wait,
please.
Come on, that's crazy talk, man. Come on.
I know.
It's better when you don't talk.
I'll shut up now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is the evil Ryan. Come on, he's gonna.
No, I think you're right. That's what we'll have to do.
All right.
You were right.
Thank you.
I apologize.
And we apologize to you, dear listeners.
Okay. Any other news?
How are we doing on time?
We have some time, but actually while we're deciding what we'll talk about next, we'll take a slight break. So we will be back in a minute.
and welcome to the 1UP Radio Network. If you know the name of the podcast you'd like to hear, press 1 now. You have selected Radio PM, starring the editors of the official U.S. PlayStation magazine. To download an episode at radiopm.1up.com, press 1 now. To listen to a promo, press 2 now. In a world ripped apart by war, only one magazine.
And we're back. Yay. Have we figured out what we're talking about next?
Yeah.
we're talking about that ad.
We're talking about someone who, if you're writing a book, finish the book. Exactly. British sci-fi author Ian Banks admitted to a civilization addiction and as a result could not finish his next book, Matter, on time.
Yeah.
Civilization addiction.
Exactly.
I wonder if it was Civ 4.
Because
I read that news article and it just said Civ.
Yeah, I know. It seems well, then again, it was reported. I think it was reported in like the BBC or something like that.
The BBC.
So, what the hell did I know about reporting?
They don't have graphics cards in Europe.
They don't have our news department that we have here at CGW.
The crack department here. Okay. Now here's a quote. Okay, to solve the problem, Banks had to quote delete all save files and smash the CD to finally actually beat his addiction and finish working on the or get back to working on the
book.
That's
amazing. That really
Ryan
is.
Ryan just did that with his Horrors of Warcraft account.
He actually broke.
I had to break my monitor.
I've read a couple other like fantasy and sci-fi authors admit to like EverQuest addictions and WoW addictions delaying their books. Like on
really?
The
that would explain why the books suck so bad. And then, the dwarf character. I hate nothing more. There's nothing more I hate than elves than water.
I love brew.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you don't really put the pen down.
Well, he's kind of a major author in the sci-fi world.
Yeah, he is pretty big.
So it's kind of a pretty big confession to be making.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like the stuff that we get sent, like the Slayer series of Warhammer novels.
Skaven Slayer.
Don't knock
Skaven those. Slayer, Giant Slayer, Ogre Slayer.
I don't think there's anything
Mage
left to be
Slayer.
Slain. I kind of see him like the Orkin man.
There's
like,
nothing left.
Yeah, there's nothing left to slay.
He's totally unemployed. Bioengineer some new Skaven breed.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you guys have been that addicted to you couldn't get like your life on with? I mean, besides Warcraft? Besides WoW?
Well, definitely over the years there have been games that have made me not do my work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's a constant.
I'm not a best-selling author because of Warcraft.
There you go.
You
know what? And I think there's some truth to it. That's how I feel sometimes. I think my mom will go like, how come you never like wrote a screenplay? Like you could have written this. You're a good writer. And it's like, well, because I'm spending like 40 hours a week playing video games. Of course, it landed me the video game job. So I guess that's good. But now I feel bad about myself.
Write a screenplay.
It's a guilt.
I'm sorry, Mom.
Yeah.
Write the Warcraft screenplay.
Oh, there you go.
I think everyone who plays an MMO or whatever has guilt over not doing something more productive at least, you know, once every day.
Especially when you do slash played.
Yeah.
You know,
for some reason,
there's another 40
like,
hours of my life.
That type of game in particular makes me feel guilty. I know people will not call it an MMO, but Guild Wars is probably as close to that like fiendish, hellish world I've come, and that just miserable, wretched, despicable, rotten world of MMO playing. I'm just playing, man. You're all scared.
No,
you guys
are
all worried. Anyone listening? Totally talking out my ass. It could be fun, but for some reason though, when I do play like Guild Wars or something for a long stretch, and I come out of it, I do kind of feel like I'm wiping my, wiping the fog out of my eyes and like reemerging into the real world.
Yeah.
Whereas I could do like a 4-5 hour Battlefield stretch, turn it off, and it's like I'm ready to multitask immediately and do something else. And I don't know what it is, but maybe because I'm like,
this is the nature of the action.
I'm talking and talking with people that I'm playing with the whole time, and we're also having side chats about other stuff.
But you are in MMOs too, but you're right though. I think there is something.
There's more of a focused action element when you're playing a game like a Battlefield too. You have like on targets and. You know.
But did you ever had that where that weird kind of guilt feeling where at least you just feel like, wow, like a big chunk of my time just disappeared.
I do that every night.
You know, for me, it was Planetside when it first came out. I mean, like I was, that was before Battlefield 2 ever came along, and I wanted to have like that MMO experience, but like FPS style. And I was playing that like a fiend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the worst is like.
But you came away with that guilt too.
Well, I came in slightly. I mean, because at one time I played like 8 hours straight, and I was just like, okay, I need to like walk away right the hell now.
Yeah.
Right. Sean, well, in World of Warcraft, like this just happened like the other night. We go into Skullomance, which is like a late dungeon where you're already 60.
That's guilt already, man.
Yeah.
Skullomance.
But like, it's like a 3-hour dungeon crawl with like mm-hmm. 5 other people. So it's really cool when you're talking to them and you like them. Mm-hmm. And you get to the end, and the only reason I'm there, it's not for experience or anything, it's because I want my set hat. There's right. like this 8-piece right. set of clothing you need, and there's a hat in there, and the guy at the end might drop it.
Right.
So you get through all this stuff for 3 hours, and then you kill the guy, and it drops the wrong hat, and you're just like, the hell did I just do?
Right.
Just
right.
Like 3 hours is just gone. There's
and
nothing.
And that's why people do those kind of runs.
Yeah.
Over and over, trying to get that one piece.
But like
of,
when it does drop, like you have this like euphoric high. You're just like, oh my god!
Like screaming
I got my
at
hat.
Your monitor.
And then there's a mm-hmm. frenzy, and somebody else ninja loots it in your party.
Well, yeah, that's never really happened to me. I've heard about it though. These ninja looters. So
Shane, you are one, aren't you? Are you a ninja looter? We would never do that at CGW.
No,
we never ninja.
All about sharing.
The anyway. Pops, like, you got more on that?
No.
Oh. I thought Ryan, were you going to say something on that?
Yeah, you've sort of been at the edge of your seat here. You want to chime in on this whole thing?
Oh, well, okay, well, here's something sad but true.
Okay.
Way back when, like, I dropped college classes because of Ultima Online.
Wow.
Okay, there you go. Yeah.
All right.
Well, really?
The winner.
You mean, like, because you were doing so poorly in them because you were playing or because you just wanted more time to play?
Kind of both.
Yeah. Well, I've got multiple friends.
But
who...
it's okay now.
Multiple
well,
friends
see,
who dropped
where you
out.
Landed.
It all worked.
Yeah, it all worked.
It all worked out.
Well, so, I got multiple friends who actually dropped out of college because of like a MUD, you know, text
God.
Only
like
real
ASCII
time
stuff.
Bit. Yeah, well,
I take it. I don't apologize for saying despicable and wretched.
No, it can be. It was really bad for this one friend.
Where you really get sucked into like this is
and this
know.
Is like a text based thing based on like the Wheel of Time books that we were like okay, playing on the site, and it was like okay. super dorky.
That's a case where it would have been better
society.
Had the author been addicted and not decided
and not
to write
those books. Yeah, right. Yeah.
At that point, just don't contribute to society. At that point, just right. please yeah. keep playing.
I just thought, getting back to the original thing, it was interesting that he even admitted it that way.
Right,
right.
Like, I mean, how thrilled was his publisher to hear that day? You know, couldn't he have said, I've had carpal tunnel, something.
It's a setup because his next book is about game addiction. Yeah. So
I've been at least struggling with, you know, the plot or something.
Right, right. I've hit a crucial, you know, crucial wall in the plot development instead of, oh, but sitting at home playing games, sorry.
For some entirely dubious pop psychology, I'd say that maybe I don't feel the guilt when I come out of Battlefield because, in my mind, I guess it's to prove, okay, I'm the more like dexterous or I'm the more skilled or I outthought this person, and so over the course of a battle, it's like, okay, we're gonna win, we're gonna kick these guys' asses, and that's what I'm getting out of it. And I go away and I said, whether I win or loss, it's like sports. And then I'm just trying to like throw some testosterone in there to make it sound like it's right. But as opposed to like, man, I spent 6 hours for a fake hat.
Why?
And I didn't even get it.
A fake
hat. And you didn't
even
get it.
Yeah,
it's
like,
but it's a pretty hat.
Well, like, WoW is all about, a lot of it's grinding, you know, looking for loot.
I think you're right. You're getting a beginning, middle, and end. You're playing a match.
Yeah.
Whereas we're just like.
Yeah. Maybe if I was PvPing in WoW or something, I would have a different philosophy.
Yeah, maybe come out of it and.
At least
feel proud.
Yeah,
because it's just like that distant light at the end of the tunnel in an MMO that never recedes, right? I mean, as you get closer, it goes further out because they throw more carrots.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. God. You know, that's why it scares me that the shooters are going in that direction with, like, the equivalent of the hats.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they already announced, DICE announced that if you, when you buy Battlefield 2142, if you have a registered certain number of hours of play in Battlefield 2, you're going to get... some special items. You're going to get a special victory dance to celebrate.
See, you're going to want this, aren't you, Sean?
I don't want that. It actually makes you not want to play 2142 in a way.
Yeah.
Because in addition, you're going to get some other kind of badge or a rank that's like, you know, you're a veteran of the Battlefield 2 tour.
What do you have, the teabagging tag? I mean, what?
Yeah, the dance. Yeah, it's like you get some stupid dance to like celebrate the... and.
Jesus.
People are going to want that.
It's going to go in that direction.
That's why the achievement system on like Xbox Live is popular.
There you go.
Same psychology.
Hmm. Hmm.
Scary.
So I guess the moral here is gaming is bad.
Horrible,
bad for you. We recommend you stop now.
Or go to the
addiction
clinic.
Get on with your life.
Right. Or go to the addiction clinic in Sweden.
Don't play games. Don't listen to gaming podcasts. I mean, really.
It's just the context.
Stop reading the magazine.
There's educational podcasts. Why aren't you listening to NPR right now?
If you've got a book contract, if you're lucky enough to have a book contract, just meet it. Fulfill it. And don't play games to the point where you can't do that.
Okay, you're right.
Just the same as like, hey, gaming's good, but you know.
Everything in moderation.
But like movies are good or television's good, but it's not if you sit and watch Jerry Springer every single day from, you know.
Instead of writing your book.
Get up. Yeah, the time you go to bed.
Okay.
So it's just not like, yeah, don't create some
false moderation.
Okay, so gaming still is good then. And so is our podcast.
I'm giving you the
okay. Gosh darn it.
Thumbs up from Sean.
We're good enough.
RE Gaming.
We're smart enough.
Okay, so do we, maybe should we move on to a couple of reader questions?
Absolutely, sure.
Okay,
that sounds awesome.
I was perusing the reader questions, and there's quite a whole bunch of good ones this week, including such questions
as
let's see. Now, where's this? This one guy had a nice three-part one. Yeah, Daniel, and then in quotes, Daniel 564.
Oh.
Najar asks, here are a few questions I have and would like your opinion on. One, I'm getting the Vista when it comes out.
Te Vista.
All right, I don't have to make fun of him. Thank you for your questions, Daniel.
Just edit it as you read.
I'm getting Vista when it comes out, but there are so many games I want that are currently out. Should I just there's a word missing.
Let's back
Should
this
I just
up
buy
and
a...
do this right.
Okay. I'm so yeah, Sean.
I'm getting the Vista when it comes. The Vista.
Don't do that to poor Daniel.
Come on.
Okay, but the last sentence does say, should I just buy a high-end PC or wait for the Vista?
Right. Should you wait for Vista? This is his question. Should gamers wait for Vista?
Well, actually, what I'm hearing now is that if you buy a PC like in October or something, they're going to start handing out coupons for free Vista upgrades after the fact.
So you can actually do it now and not worry.
Right. Well, I would say you can't do it now. But if you wait around October. Because basically that was the original plan, and a lot of PC manufacturers are getting a little cheesed off because Vista's running them far behind.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The ramp up to Vista with games is going to be a while.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the fact remains, like, there are just about any high-end PC that you buy now is going to be able to run Vista just fine.
Uh-huh.
But the longer you wait, obviously the more powerful the machine is going to be cheaper. So.
Right.
If you can hold off a few months, do so. That's it.
So wait for the Vista.
Wait for the Vista coupon.
Wait for the Vista coupon.
There you go. Wait for October.
Number two.
I think he should just buy a high-end PC.
he could. Okay. So number two is, when did you guys first know that you wanted to write for CGW?
Man, that's...
As when you were out of work? When Burger King fired you.
The day you interviewed me?
Anybody have a good answer to this?
You're on the hot seat. You're the most recent.
Let's ask Sean
to
Malloy.
Join Sean Malloy.
Right. First answer.
That's interesting.
when the ad went up for the job.
Kinda.
I mean, honestly, it never crossed my mind
that I would be going to CGW.
Well, I don't think honestly any of us can say one day I'm going to write for CGW.
Right, it was never a dream of mine to write for CGW specifically because I was in the game business for a while and then I got out of it for a year, and then I was just kind of itching to get back in, and this was kind of at the right time, mm-hmm. and it was a magazine that I respected, so it wasn't, I guess, it really was, a couple minutes before the interview, we were like, hey, that would work.
Now, Ryan, you had come from, you were just doing stuff on the web, weren't you, at the time?
I had written a bunch of reviews for a couple of different fan sites I was helping out.
But this was your first publishing
job. In an attempt
to
get into the industry, but
quite the success story there.
I knew I wanted to write for CGW when I applied for the internship.
Uh-huh.
So.
True.
Mm-hmm.
True. Well, I don't know. I guess for me, I've been reading the magazine forever. So, I never really thought of I always just wrote as a hobby when I was growing up, and I never actually thought of it as a real career until I graduated from college. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, that's not true. J-school, I should say. Then once I went to J school, I was like, okay, now that this is a real career I can do.
And then What's
J school?
Journalism school?
No, I knew that.
Jew school.
Start smelling some Bosies.
Jew school. Okay.
I don't know. It just kind of happened.
Yeah, me too. Sean? Well, you were at EGM.
Right. So I think that's probably like when people ask these kind of questions, what they're getting at is the whole like
how do you get in the industry kind of thing.
If there's that case where you're like, you know, I always grew up reading this magazine. Uh-huh. And it's pretty crazy that, you know, for this one day happens and I'm like, man, I'm hanging out with these guys. I actually work here, you know. And yeah. So some kind of version of that happened for me at EGM. Because I was like I said, I admitted I was late to PC gaming. But it's kind of weird because by the time it had come, it's only magical when you're imagining, I think, when you're in high school or something like that, you know. And then by the time I got my second degree and I just got to have a master's program. And then it's like... Well, it's about freaking time I got a salary job. You know, it's not like, wow, you know, my dreams are coming true.
Yeah.
Right.
And then on the really like just the flat matter of fact end, I knew I wanted to start writing for CGW and pretty much anyone who would take my writing when I got laid off from EGM.
Right. And then, hire me.
And then beyond that, like it was, I mean, all that time I was already getting just guff from people at EGM, like, well, you're just a PC gamer anyway, you know? And like, I hated that anyway, because in the same way, that's why here I try to cultivate like the whole like RTS people versus FPS people versus MMO people or whatever, as opposed to the console versus PC or something. Cause to me, it's like, I just play it if it's good.
If it's
you know?
A good game, right. Yeah, I think at this point,
I think we
so
all feel
kind of like
way.
Tongue in cheek do it on in terms of genres for us. But like, seriously, I just didn't. But so it was like, it was a good fit. It was perfect timing. And I lucked out because like right when I was ready to go, gung ho. Mm-hmm.
I threw somebody
you
out
threw,
on their ass.
Threw an offer up my way. And
get out!
And I've been extremely happy ever since.
Don't let the door hit your ass.
No, I think that was when Robert left.
Yep.
Yeah, it was.
Right. Who we're still friends with.
And that was still right for us.
All right, let's get to Daniel's number three question. This might just be all about Daniel this week. But
his fourth question, I think, is probably pretty interesting.
I like that
too.
We'll do three first and then hit four. We'll try to do three quickly. If you guys had to choose one of the upcoming consoles, which would you choose? 360, PS3, or Wii?
We already all have 360s, so.
I don't.
I have a 360.
I do.
I do, too.
Okay, so Darren, Sean, and Sean have 360s.
The answer there for me, at least now, is not the PS3. I mean, I want the Wii just because, like, the like innovation lover in me thinks it could be awesome, but it's still unproven.
I'm curious about the tech, and I think, you know, Blu-ray could very well be the next Betamax, but I am kind of curious to check it out still.
I am unsold on the PS3. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be the Wii for me.
It's the big question, the PS3. The Xbox is like a no-brainer. Wii, the same thing. And the Wii I look at as the ideal game to play. You know, I live with my girlfriend, and Nintendo's been always the perfect like way to get her to play games with me. And aside from like, you know, being dorking out to Guitar Hero or something together in PlayStation, it seems just like a dream come true for that. You know, it's like instead of, hey, what do you want to watch, whatever, and like, and if it's not a matter of, hey, I'm gonna let's go out somewhere, it's like, hey, let's play the Wii or whatever.
Right.
PS3, a little too costly and a little too little to show right now to get me really excited.
I mean, of course, Metal Gear
is going to come out and all that stuff, but like for the time being, you know, this holiday season when it's like, you know, Gears of War, this and that, and then like, it's Sony's launches have always been just horrendous anyway. I mean, remember playing Fantavision and stuff and pretending to like it when that came out on the
I think the only game PS2 I remember liking for the PS2 is like SSX. That's exactly my point.
When it first came out, I mean, compared to the Dreamcast, it was so... And it's kind of weird. It's like, you know, I think a lot of us want to side with the underdog at some point, and I think Sony's just kind of like overstayed its welcome. They've been on top now for two generations, and I think
but
now we're
I
just
I think if
like,
they had an awesome launch lineup, we would be for it.
Right.
Absolutely.
But it's just their arrogance at the E3 Expo.
I think
it was E3 for me because I was like, I came back from that and immediately went and bought the 360 because I had been planning the whole time to like
that's a sales
buy the PS3 until they announced the price and showed the games off. I'm like,
so
oh,
you believed
know, wow.
at 2000, was it 2004? 2005. You must have believed their Schwelin CG movies then, huh?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
I think I
that
probably
was,
did.
As soon as I saw those, I
was like, all right, I'm getting a 360 because I knew it was all crap.
It was all fake.
You've been a little quiet here. What do you think?
360 games
are steep. Can you come forward with a PS3 love, or is it unanimous here?
PS3 is way too expensive, yeah.
I don't know if I could afford it, but you know what? Like I said, I'm not, the arrogance, whatever. I'm just waiting to see if the games do the talking.
Well, the truth is, ultimately, we will, probably everyone at this table will own all of them, right?
Probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that's just the kind of people we are.
It will be a record for me. If I don't get it at launch, it will be the first major console that I didn't get on launch.
Wow.
Interesting. Hmm.
in pretty much ever. I mean, like, I say major, so it's like, you know, excluding the Jaguar and the 3DO.
Okay.
But everything that Sega's made, everything that, you know, everyone else that's ever been a contender, I've gotten on launch day. And this is the one where it's like, I just don't care right now. I see like a year from this holiday season caring, but right now, no.
I also can't recall like this level of cynicism this late in the game for a console's release. Mm-hmm. Like usually we're all pretty much ready to buy.
Right.
Well, I think it's the price factors, but kind of like, kept most people
it's
away.
So much money,
right? And they're so they're bank. Sony corporate wise is banking so much on the Blu-ray technology.
Yeah, I don't get it. I just want some good games. And I mean, what is there going to be? That's
another thing. I think for me, like Japanese developers have lost a lot of luster over the years, excluding the guys that make Resident Evil, mm-hmm. Kojima and company, Konami that make Metal Gear. A lot of the stuff where Japanese, you know, third party developers would come out with some. Consistently with some really interesting stuff. These days, it's like, you know, Dynasty Warriors clones and stuff. Like, look at the stuff aside from Dead Rising, you know, and like Chrome Hounds. Like, they're just dumping a lot of stuff, and they're having a hard time keeping up with, like, trends, you know, in terms of their save systems, in terms of, like, interfaces.
Don't get me started on the save systems.
I mean, not to do too much Japan bashing, but, I mean, just basically on the strength of their of the third-party stuff, where in the past you'd be like, well, you can count on all that on Sony. It's just not that attractive to me anymore. Well,
USA number one.
Well, except for one thing.
Or, you know, it's not just...
Yeah.
It's you know, North America and Europe, at least in my mind, again, so people don't come yelling at me, right. Well, what about Hideo Kojima? What about, you know, Mizuguchi? It's like, yes, okay, you got those guys. But I'm talking about the people that make... Well, even Mizuguchi, look at 99 Nights, you know?
Right, yeah.
It's a piece of crap. So...
Not a good game.
It's not like a... It's like crap with corn in it. It's like this...
Okay.
All right, there we go.
So okay, I've heard of bad corn.
How about the Wii?
Ryan? The Wii?
Yeah.
I'm buying the Wii on launch.
If you can,
I've got a 12-year-old daughter, and like Sean, like that, the Nintendo machine is always the one I end up playing with my kid, and I'm really psyched about it.
Yeah, there was a lot of fun games I tried out at E3 this year.
Yeah. But like we said, we will all probably have all of them. We'll all have a PS3 eventually when the price goes down.
There's a weird stigma attached to getting Nintendo stuff, you know. For me, at least, like when you go, because it's like just the greasiest little grommets of the internet are all on the Nintendo bandwagon.
You go down, greasy little grommets for everything.
Go down to the, but they're different. There's a zeal that the Nintendo ones have that you will not find elsewhere.
Well, that is
and
true.
It's like a self-righteousness, a sanctimoniousness where they're like, you know, this is purity. This is innovation. It's not really next gen if it's just an upgrade. It has to be a revolution. Like that kind of stuff. I just want to slap them. So I'll have to buy my Wii at like a Best Buy or something, not in a line at a GameStop where I have to hear the clerk say, oh, wise choice, wise choice.
I would buy the
I felt
next
like I was
Nintendo
there.
System.
I felt like I was at GameStop.
You what
I would buy the next Nintendo system just for Zeldas and Marios because I still always love those games.
Me too. So, I got to play those right away.
And the fact that they're like doing something crazy with the controller and interface just is extra awesomeness for me. Mm-hmm. I'm a fanboy.
Yeah,
I can hear that dude.
Yeah, he's the dude he was just making fun of. Okay, so let's do question four and then maybe call it a wrap after
that.
Yeah, question. Daniel's question number four is, what does your family think of your career? Good question.
Mm.
Ryan, we'll start with you.
Well, my family's good with it.
You leave my mom out of this.
Oh,
hey now.
Come on.
Do they think it's cool? Are they? They're not embarrassed.
No, they're always really, really happy. My mom's always looking for CGW on the newsstand. Mm-hmm. Not,
does she read it?
Not always finding it.
Soon enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're always showing it to people at work, I guess.
They don't say when you're going to get a real job or.
No, they acknowledge that this is kind of. This is it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they always used to tell me, "Oh, you'll grow out of those games." When I was a kid, but mm-hmm. I showed them.
You they were telling them. You that about G.I. Joe too. You're still playing with them.
Child in man's body.
Darren,
my parents they laugh about it because they kind of knew early on for me because I was a big nerd, always played with the stuff, I always tried to like figure out how to make things and. Mm-hmm. And they bought me an Atari VCS back in the day, and it was pretty much fait accompli ever since then. Mm-hmm. So,
but do they think it's a cool career, or would they be happier if you were in whatever?
Well, to be honest with you,
the New
like,
Yorker.
When I first started, told them I was going to be a writer, they're like, okay, because I was working for like you know book publishers in Manhattan, mm-hmm. and I don't know. It just didn't really work for me. And then when I said I'm going to move out west and work at video game magazines, they didn't quite get it. And I still don't think they do, but they respect the fact that I'm
having a great time. Do you guys still get the so you play games from a living? For a living from your families? Do they just like reduce it down to that?
No, I think I've explained what I do enough.
Enough.
They fully understand.
Funny. My parents, like, it's not even that. They just don't understand at all. They just know video games is involved.
Yeah, that's
no
pretty
matter
much
how
it.
Many times I'll explain, even to my own mom on the phone. I mean, sometimes it's weird. It's reassuring. She'll, like, I'll mention, you know, I was out of the country working on a feature or something. And, oh, you know, she knows about bylines and likes them. Tell me which one, what magazine you work for again? But half the time, it's like they don't know. It's like, I think in public what you get outside of family is they immediately think you're a tester.
Yeah.
There's that weird thing. So I think they think the family, my own parents will think it's either that I'm testing them, that I'm making them, or something. They just know that games are involved, but they can't.
Yeah.
Wrap their heads around that. And then if you do tell them you write about them, it's like you're writing strategy guides. That's the other thing they can only see. You're writing the tricks and the cheats and stuff for those things.
So you must be really good at games.
Yeah. There's just no
to figure out all those codes.
Ability for them to say, hey, maybe you can write about this in some way other than
the
instruction.
That's part of the stigma we're kind of overcoming as an industry, I guess.
Right. I mean, that's a pretty fair critique of our people that write about games. So
Mr. Malloy?
They're super big cheerleaders.
They are?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Well, when I first, I think they thought I was crazy when I first did it because I was living back in like Rochester near Buffalo. That's where I'm from.
NickTow.
Like,
NickTow's garbage plate.
Yes, exactly. You know.
I know all too well.
Everyone's like,
get a
room,
garbage plate.
No, but, seriously, look it up online sometime. NickTow's garbage plate, the best greasy food I've ever eaten in my life. I drove an hour and a half to get that once.
But I had like an engineering job, and like out of the blue, I'm just like, all right, I'm moving to San Francisco, the most expensive country in the world, to take a lower paying job writing about video games. And they were like,
and that was also
okay.
to become Dingo, right?
Yes.
So that probably added.
I
went to
my first job was GamePro. I wasn't even writing game reviews really. I was doing the movie review section on their website.
Oh wow.
So and then I kind of segued into. I also was writing video games too, but I was kind of the movie guy, and then it just kind of grew into the game guy too. Mm-hmm. But my dad would buy like Star Dingo mouse pads and stuff, and they had like a Star Dingo clock at their printing shop. So they were like super supportive after.
You had to take that
once. Once I proved
that's
that,
my
like,
son. That's my son.
Gonna,
this the Dingo. Yeah.
Dingo is my son.
This cartoon character.
He's got a T-shirt. My son is Dingo.
Yeah, pretty much. If they had made it, he would have bought it.
Uh-huh. Did they ever make a toy of you?
No, they never got around to me. If you don't know, they made toys of several of the editors as like chasers.
Major Mike.
I think
like a video game line they had.
Milky has a toy. You seen that on his blog, Milkman?
What?
Really?
Yeah, James Milky over at 1UP has some kind of toy.
Oh, that's sad. PDZ Final thing. I think I've seen that.
Bastard.
Yeah.
Imagine how sad that would be if you wanted a toy. James Milky.
Who made a toy of him? Like, what is that even for?
Oh, my God. It's number 279 of 800.
Well, I don't think it's a toy that you
should
can buy.
To death
they made
it.
It for him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but his were like, they made a bunch. They were retail.
Yeah,
wow.
Like
actually,
you
sold
could
those.
Buy in store.
Wow.
Yeah, you could buy it in the store.
That's cool.
Like, I would go to Toys R Us.
That's cool.
It's like, hey, here's the Dan Electro toy. That's very bizarre.
Shoot lightning and review a game
never
at
got
the same
to me,
time.
Yet. I was not... They did like a survey.
Powers, 50 cents a word. 15 cents a word.
He'll give you a smiley face for fun factor if you push the button.
We sold those at the store that I worked before.
Did you?
Before I started here.
Did, they
did you
sell,
buy
like,
any?
Hot
did
cakes?
You buy any?
Huh?
Did you buy any?
Hell no.
If some kid tried to rip one off and it was kind of like half torn off the card and you had the excuse to like, we could just like put this in the back and keep it, would you have done it?
Sure.
That's I was never immortalized in plastic, though. It's a shame.
I don't think any of us were.
Yeah.
See, my family's been mostly supportive of it. But what always gets me is because I'll do interviews with, I've done interviews with like, whatever, NPR, New York Times, and like when my dad or somebody hears one of those, he gets all excited, like, Jeffrey, I was listening to NPR yesterday, and I heard you. It seems like you're really going places with your career now. I'm like,
they just brought out the gift.
Thanks. I thought I was going somewhere already, but now that NPR interviewed me for 1 minute, I'm suddenly doing okay. Not that there's anything wrong with NPR, but it's like, Okay.
And it was for a story about Jack Thompson.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's always about video game violence.
Yeah.
And I get the same stuff as you that you were saying, Sean. I get the like, so you test games?
Yeah.
It's always from like the extended family. And now because my mom was on the phone with her people telling him about the Microsoft deal, now it's all that misinformation. Mm-hmm.
So you work for Microsoft now. So you must be making a lot of money.
Yeah.
So my relatives are over at your place too?
I think our relatives sound alike, Darren. Yeah.
Hey, Bubby, so you're making
right.
You're making good money now or with the whole magazine business.
Or is it they say like, oh, you know, your cousin, like they talk about like my 6-year-old cousin or something. He's been playing games. We'll get him a subscription. What magazine is it you work at again? Yeah. You're like, no, man, come on. Yeah. You're not writing for 6-year-olds. I know you're my brother and all, but screw you.
We have a serious gaming magazine.
That's right. Yeah.
So we hope we answered your questions, sir, Daniel. And there were lots of questions from lots of other people, but Daniel had 4 good ones.
Great for Daniel.
So that's the lesson to all the rest of you.
The other lesson is
stack
gets
with
no
big
reward
questions.
For this, so don't even bother.
All right, he gets no reward. Right.
Whoa.
So thanks. Whoa. Are we done?
That's a wrap.
We've been talking a long time.
We have. We just hit the hour mark.
We hit the hour mark. Okay. Well, we will be back next week, probably. We hope.
Knock on wood.
And we thank y'all for listening, and we will see you again.